Hello and welcome to Press TV's News Analysis. Coming to you from Tehran, I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, European Union foreign ministers have met in Brussels to make sure that the latest oil sanctions against Iran will be imposed in July. However, as the EU and the US go forward with trying to punish Iran, they're also shooting themselves in the foot. Oil prices continue to rise as Iran has cut off sending supplies to some European countries after they agreed to implement the sanctions. Stay with us as we take a look at what these oil sanctions on Iran may mean for the world.
Gas prices in the U.S. have jumped to their highest levels in 10 months. Gasoline for April delivery rose to $3.38 a gallon on the New York Mercantile Exchange. This is the seventh consecutive weekly increase in gas prices in the U.S. The same goes for prices across the Atlantic. In the UK, the average cost for 1 litre of unleaded petrol has exceeded $2. Fuel prices have also spiked in several other European countries, including France, Germany and Italy. The recent gains at the pumps come as oil prices also continue to rise. Crude prices have remained high following Iran's decision to cut exports to some European countries in response to EU sanctions. U.S. President Barack Obama says the tensions with Iran have added another 20 to 30 premium dollars to world oil prices. The U.S. president has already admitted that there is no silver bullet to ease the pain at the pump. The U.S. has recently decided to exempt 10 European countries plus Japan from purchasing Iranian oil without their banks facing financial penalties. In a similar move, the European Union has agreed to exempt some insurance on Iranian oil shipments until July the 1st. The US and its allies are pinning their hopes on Saudi Arabia to boost its crude output to fill the supply gap, but there are rising concerns in the West about the Saudi monarchy's capability to do so as it faces an unprecedented wave of popular uprising in its oil-rich eastern province. Experts say even if Saudi Arabia manages to boost its crude output, the kind of oil it produces is not the type that major refineries in the West are capable of processing. European refiners are particularly optimized for processing the type of crude Iran exports. As such, many experts wonder why the US and its allies are insisting on their anti-Iran policies at a time when they're in desperate need of energy resources to drive their troubled economies out of recession.
Well, I'd like to welcome my guest to the program from London, Professor of Binary Economics, Mr. Rodney Shakespeare. From Washington, a columnist of The Hill newspaper, Mr. Brent Budowski. And from Brussels, Secretary General CIPI Foundation, Paolo Refone. Thank you all for being with us. I'd like to start off in London with Professor Shakespeare. Now, Professor, it appears that the United States is out of control and that it is willing to do whatever it takes to hurt Iran, even if they hurt their allies and themselves at the same time. Do you agree? And if you do, why is that the case?
The United States is out of control because the Zionist entity which controls American foreign policy is out of control. Those two are conspiring to ensure that all Middle East states are weak, are smashed apart, and in no way must show any sort of independence. Their attempt to strangle Iran is not because anything to do with an atom bomb. 16 intelligence agencies in the USA say Iran is not building a bomb. MI6 in the UK, in my country, says no bomb. And even Mossad says no bomb. Mm-hmm. What this is about is a rabid, rancid, paranoid attack dog called Israel manipulating American policy to try and wreck Iran. And I have to say this, is that if they do it, the consequences will be such that they will regret it forever. And one of the consequences will be the overthrow of those ghastly, torturing regimes in the Middle East, which they support all the time.
Okay, well, let me turn to Washington and get Mr. Badowski in on this. Now, the draconian sanctions are trying to punish a country for pursuing what, according to international law, is its right, the pursuit of a peaceful nuclear energy program. And as Professor Shakespeare has just said, it seems the intelligence agencies or different governments, even in the United States, in the UK, they too, different agencies know or are saying that Iran is not trying to pursue getting a nuclear weapon. So how does the United States, first of all, get the Europeans to go along with them, even though that several of these countries depend on Iranian oil and they have very fragile economies at this time?
Well, first of all, to some degree, there are legitimate security concerns that the Europeans share with the United States. To some degree, it is political that the United States is in an election year. Many of the European countries are in election years or approaching them as well. Now, let me try to put this as positively as I can, and you can assume I don't agree with everything that Professor Shakespeare said. What we can do and should do, we meaning everyone, is a political and diplomatic solution that the government of Iran, the government of the United States, the government of Europe, and the government of Israel can all agree on that would end this issue and this conflict once and for all, end all of the sanctions once and for all, and not just oil, but all of the sanctions, and end up in a better situation that would be more advantageous to every single country that is affected by this across the board and in every way economically. That should be a doable proposition. I mean, one thing that, Professor Shakespeare said that I agree with is the government of Iran is saying, and we should try to make this diplomatic, that they're not going to do nuclear weapons. Now, there ought to be a way to get a diplomatic and political agreement between the United States, Europe, Iran, everyone else, that would make that ratified and eliminate all the sanctions, eliminate all of the conflict, settle the issue once and for all, which would not only help on the oil prices for the Western world and for Europe, but it would lead to tremendous benefits across the Middle East, including Iran, but other countries as well. There's no reason we can't reach a diplomatic solution to these problems, because what the Iranian government says they will do is what the other governments say they want to do. And finally, there's a lot of dissent in Israel, I would add, about many of the policies done by the current government. And so the war is not inevitable, and endless sanctions are not inevitable, and diplomatic solutions are possible. They're not easy, but that's what I think we should all aspire to.
Okay, well, turning to Brussels, so Mr. Rafani, as Mr. Badowski says, that diplomatic solutions are possible. Are they possible given the situation that we have at this point in time? And if they are, why aren't these diplomatic solutions being pursued?
Well, from the European point of view, the problem is that Europe is not set to take the lead in real diplomatic solutions, so it can just follow what is the Western bloc decision to act in a certain way, as it has been that of imposing sanctions to Iran, which, by the way, are against European interests, as we see the backlash of the sanctions on the European prices of oil is evident, and it will be even worse in the future. So the thing is, I agree with what I heard about the possibility to avoid a war to Iran, and probably there is even no need to even think about it. There is a need to find a diplomatic solution. The diplomatic solution has to involve also the other powers in the world, like Russia and China. The problem of the nuclear issues is that nuclear capacity, especially for military purposes, is still in the hands of the winners of the Second World War, and there is no intention to invite anybody else in the club, with the sole exception under a certain degree of control is Israel. But for all the others, there has not been this possibility. So a new agreement at global level has to be done and worked out in the to decide about the future of nuclear weapons. So basically the previous treaties, they seem to be on a halt today. And the case of Iran, either it is true or not true that it is pursued for military purposes, is opening the box. We have to wait that the processes of elections will be fully finished, not only in the Western countries, but in China too. We have to see what will be the stand of China.
So you're saying, Mr. Rafani, you think a lot of this is a lot of the talk is due to basically that there's election coming up in the U.S. and also some of the European countries? Is it election rhetoric for the most part?
Yes, definitely. The Iranian situation is playing a role in the elections, at even at national level. But we have to see, for instance, in Europe, you have France, which is more openly having a stand against a number of countries. We have seen what they did in leading in Libya and what they have been trying to do in Syria and the position they have on Iran. Okay. Italy had a different situation, but now has a special government which cannot deviate from a certain position which is dictated by the alliances it has. Germany would be the most damaged one by policies against Iran. So, as a matter of fact, it doesn't exist a European position apart this of sanctioning Iran because it is so agreed with the United States.
Well, Professor Shakespeare, now how likely are these sanctions to cause problems between some countries and the U.S. on what some countries consider Washington's duplicity? Japan and 10 European countries have received waivers from the U.S. from being punished as they continue to purchase Iranian oil. However, China has not been exempted, and Beijing isn't happy about this. Your take, sir.
I wonder if I could first comment on Brent Badowski's remarks.
Sure, of course.
It's absolutely outrageous that the USA with 10,000 bombs and with Israel with 300 or 400 bombs, including hydrogen bombs and neutron bombs, should dare to take the position they are against a country which their own intelligence services admits is not creating a bomb. I do not expect to hear from Brent talk about negotiations and Iran coming to the table, when it's quite clear that all the aggression is on one side. As regards Paolo, he is saying that these things are a matter of an election year. And I would remind him that at this moment, three aircraft carriers are in the, approaching or are in the vicinity of Iran. It's a military aggression is going on, and Obama has said, if they don't pull off the sanctions and they are not going to work, then of course they're going to attack. In respect of your question, the world is at a tipping point. Obama has said that there are 12 countries which will be sanctioned if they don't bow to the American will in this matter. In those 12, yes, there is China, there is India, there is the Philippines, there is Indonesia. There are all the countries of the world, or large populous countries of the world. And they're going to say, reach a point where they're going to say, we've had enough of being bullied by you. And my guess is that quietly, they're going to cooperate together, and suddenly the USA and Israel will find out that they've bitten off much more than they can chew.
What about that, Mr. Badowski? How likely is that to happen? Those 12 countries that Professor Shakespeare has mentioned. What happens if they actually do bond together and finally say to Washington that enough is enough? How likely is that to happen? Is the United States losing some of its influence over these countries?
No, I don't think so. There are tensions between those countries, or issues as well as tensions, between those countries and the United States. And I'm referring to Europe, I'm referring to China, I'm referring to Russia. And obviously there are financial problems in Europe that have nothing to do with this, that are serious, some of which I've opposed, some of the austerity that they're imposing on Greece and Spain. I think it's a terrible mistake, and France does have a big election coming up soon. But let me get back to what I consider the most important point. I am not here today to make an ideological argument or to condemn people or to support people. I'm here to try to help solve problems. I will tell you that I worked for the congressional leadership in the United States, the Democrats, beginning when Ronald Reagan was president, and we were having secret briefings about the end of the world on nuclear war. I sat through secret briefings about how I would die, how the United States would be destroyed, how Russia would be destroyed, how the world would be destroyed, how life on Earth would end. I heard and was part of those secret briefings, and I was involved in the policies that changed that and that saved the world with a lot of different countries. So when I see the differences between the United States and Iran and Israel, I can go back. We could do a five-hour show just about the wars and the conflicts and the dangers that I experienced and many in our audience experienced in every continent in the world where the whole idea of life on Earth could have ended. So these are problems that can be solved. And I'll repeat the main point quickly. The government of Iran has a right to have civilian nuclear energy. There's no question about that. They have the right, everyone agrees, to have civilian nuclear energy. The government of Iran says that they do not want nuclear weapons. There is no reason that reasonable people in all of these countries cannot come up with a diplomatic solution, as the United States did with China, with Russia, to save the world from the end of the world through nuclear weapons that I was in the middle of, and it was a long 40-year fight before I was born that ended while I was here, that we have to find ways to come up with solutions to these problems.
Well, Mr. Podolsky, let me just jump in here. I understand what you're saying as far as it saving the world, but the reality about the nuclear weapons is that there are still a lot of nuclear weapons in the hand of the United States and some of its allies.
Oh, yeah.
So the danger for the rest of the world is definitely still there. But the question is, basically, does a country that possesses so many nuclear weapons even have the right to try to put this much pressure on a country that says it's not pursuing nuclear weapons?
Well, by the way, regarding the weapons in the United States, I would like to eliminate many of them as well, by the way. I mean, you're right about that.
Yes.
Well, I want to solve the problems and make life better for the people of the United States, Iran, Europe, everywhere else. And so, to the degree that there are is a legitimate security threat, or they believe it is, the United States, Europe, even Israel, to the degree they believe that, there ought to be a diplomatic solution to eliminate whatever threat does or may exist. From the point of view of Iran and the point of view of other countries, there ought to be a way where they can do what they say they're going to do, and in return, the United States and Europe and everyone else will lift the sanctions and lift the life for everyone in all of those countries. I'm a problem solver, and I've solved and been involved in much more dangerous problems than this, like the end of the world. And so rather than debate who's right and who's wrong, the government of Iran says it wants to do what the Europeans and the United States say they are asking them to do. If the United States and Russia can reach agreements, the Soviet Union, surely reasonable and intelligent people in all of these countries can reach an agreement over this issue.
Okay, well, turning back to Brussels, let's look, go ahead. I think, Mr. Shakespeare, you wanted to comment real quick before I turn to Ms. Raffone?
Yes, look, I don't doubt that Brent is a man of good will, but the reality is that he is putting forward the case of a country with 10,000 bombs, which is aggressing and in war all the time, and he's putting forward the case of an Israel with 300 bombs undeclared and is aggressing and at war all the time. And he's daring to then say that the one who is causing the trouble is a country which has attacked no one, which has a policy of no bombs. He effectively, I'm sorry to say this, Brent, you're acting as a propagandist for the existing regime, and all your talk about bringing peace, the reality is you are blaming the one who is the innocent party in this situation.
All right, let me turn back to Brussels.
Now, Mr. Raffone, if I can just add one quick sentence.
Go ahead.
I didn't blame anybody. I tried to offer a solution. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm offering solutions.
All right, turning to Brussels, Mr. Raffani.
What can Iran
do? Let me get Mr. Raffani back in on this. Brussels, how is this affecting? We see the situation, gas prices in the United States, in the European countries, just continuing to rise. If this situation continues, how do you think that it can affect these countries themselves, the ones that are actually imposing the sanctions? How likely will it backfire on them?
Sadly, it will have a certain effect on the European economy, which is, for the time being, in a difficult situation because of the slowdown due to the financial crisis, which is a reason to think that maybe the effect of oil prices will be milded up because of less demand in Europe for the economic situation. But nevertheless, we see anyway a beginning of raising of the prices of oil in the European market. The thing is that Europe, as such, is unable to enter into the discussion I just heard between the two gentlemen from Washington and UK, because the nuclear powers in Europe are only two, is France and UK. All the rest of Europe is without nuclear weapons, if not those Americans which are standing here. So the issue, I think, has to be addressed in a more global way, where the powers with nuclear weapons have to sit down and decide consequently what they're doing and why they're doing these things. Personally, I do not see why to agitate this nuclear danger of Iran when the issue is a Middle East mess which has been created and now is even spinning up in Syria in a way that nobody is really handling. So the issue of nuclear fears is just agitated to cover up failures elsewhere, I have the impression.
All right, and on that note, I'd like to thank all of my guests for the program. Professor Binary Economics, Mr. Rodney Shakespeare from London, from Washington, columnist of The Hill newspaper, Mr. Brent Podowski, and from Brussels, from Secretary General CIPI Foundation, Mr. Paolo Raffani. Thank you all for being with us, and thank you, viewers, for being with us. Join us right here, same time, same place tomorrow, for another look at tomorrow's news analysis. Well, I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing off for myself and everyone else right here in the studio. Thank you so much for being with us, and goodbye.